Begin the current daf Masechtas Nida daf Samach Beis. Begin on the bottom line of Samach Aleph from the Beis, where we continue with the next Mishnah in this parak, discussing laws of purification as they apply to this halacha that we were speaking about in the previous parakim of the kesem of the bloodstain, which the dam nida itself is tamei, and therefore when it's on the garment, this itself that it contaminated the garment. Additionally, you have to remove the contaminant, that of the blood. So on that says our Mishnah as follows. Shiva samanim, there are seven ingredients, seven detergents, mavirin al kesem, that one has to put and onto the bloodstain, on the garment before one immerses it in the mikvah to purify it. You have to first remove the contaminant, which is the bloodstain, because the blood itself does not become nullified until one goes and puts on all these seven detergents on the bloodstain. What are these seven ingredients? So roig tafel, there's raw saliva, which the Mishnah is going to explain later on, which that person has not eaten yet the entire day. That's what tafel means, without any taste, meaning it's raw. Umei grisin, there's, as the Mishnah is going to explain later on, this is the water from beans. Umei reglaim, and urine. Veneser and alum, which is a type of a mineral. Ubiris, and there's a katinta on top of samach bezim and alf. Kamonya, va'ashlag, with these three things, the Gemara is going to explain exactly what these ingredients are. So that's what's necessary. One has to go ahead and first put these detergents on it, then that has nullified the blood, then one could go ahead and immerse it in the mikvah. But says the Mishnah, let's say hitviloi, let's say someone went and he immersed the garment with the bloodstain in the mikvah before he put the seven detergents on the bloodstain. And then, v'asal gabav tahiris, so someone immersed in the mikvah, he thought, okay, it's okay, and he went and he used that garment for tahiris. Now, if this is really the bloodstain, which was not nullified yet, and therefore then the garment has not been purified, and then actually would make the taharas tummy. So it says the Mishnah as follows. So this was done erroneously. You didn't first put on detergents and then immerse it in the mikvah. It's put into the mikvah before that. So you could do the following test, and this is the second element that the detergents have. First one is, as we're talking about, regarding the laws of bittul. Now we're talking about as they apply to the laws of bedikah, as in testing. So after it was immersed in the mikvah and one used it already for taharas, Hevra lov shibis saman. So now what you do is, now you put on the seven ingredients. If v'loy avar, if it does not remove the stain, sari zetzeva, that's a sign that that stain is not blood, rather it's dye. Because if it was blood, then the detergents would remove it. So therefore, had taharis tahiris. So whatever taharis that were used with their garment before the detergents were put on are going to remain tar. You don't have to even immerse this garment because it was never tummy in the first place because this was not done. But let's say, avar, let's say you did the test with the seven detergents and they removed the stain, or at least it lightened the redness, it diminished the coloring of the red stain. Oh, sorry, it's a kesem. So then we retain this suspicion that it was a blood stain. And then if the taharas tameis, the taharas are going to be tummy because you immersed it before you had done the bittul, the nullification of the blood by the seven detergents, and therefore that did not purify the garment, and therefore it was still tame, and it defiled those taharas. The tzarach latvah, and then you have to go and now immerse it over again, because you have to first do the bittul, which now you did by the test, which was also now being mevatlet, and then you could go ahead and immerse it in the mikvah. Now the Mishnah qualifies some of the ingredients we mentioned. Ezehu reik tafel. What's exactly this raw saliva that's one of the seven ingredients? It's kol shalai tom kolam. If someone didn't taste anything yet, that's considered raw saliva. What's mei grisin? What's this bean juice? It's leisas grisin shel pul. It's chewed up split beans. Chalukas nefesh. That the food part of the bean was separated from its peel. So what happens is the person chews up the split bean, and then he puts that liquidy mass on the stain. That's one of the seven ingredients. What's mirak lime? What do we mean when we say urine? We mean shechmitzu, that if fermented. Now it says the Mishnah, b'tzach lechaschis. The person has to rub shalish pam three times between his two hands, like the way people generally launder by hand, is that you take one side of the garment on the other, and you rub, going back and forth. So you have to do it three times, the kolech ve'echad, with each one of these ingredients. Each one of these seven ingredients, you have to go ahead and put it on, rub three times, and go into the next ingredient, and so on until one is finished. But says the Mishnah, havirin shalei kesidrin, if let's say someone puts in the ingredients, not in the order as we said them here in the Mishnah. Oy shehever shivis aman kachas, or he puts in all seven ingredients onto the stain at one time. He hasn't done anything, not for the two things we spoke about. Not for the test, that won't be a valid test, because that won't be a verification. And neither for the law of bittul, which we opened up the Mishnah with, as a nullification. You have to do each one individually in the exact order as they mentioned in our Mishnah. Now, Talmud in the Braisa that elucidates some of the other detergents. Neser, which is alum, which is a type of a mineral, says the Braisa, it's specifically Alexandrus, regarding the Alexandrian version. Valenester Anpad Taurus, but not the Anpad Taurus Al. Additionally, the Mishnah said Boiris. What is that? So Rabbi Yehuda says, Ze'ahala, that's aloe. But says the Gemara Vatanul in the Braisa regarding the laws of Shemitah, that it applies to Ha'Boiris of Ha'al. So you see that Al is a different thing than Boiris. How can you say Boiris is Al? So Ella rather says, Gemara, you're right, my Boiris is Kavrisa. It's sulfur. That we're saying that sulfur is one of the seven ingredients. So Zimab Bavamina, that's also contradicted from a Bryce that says Hisifalain. They added on to the vegetation that's prohibited with the laws of Shemitah, Halavitzin, so thistles, Valuunin, and wormwood, which these are things that not really primarily food items, but they include in the laws of Shemitah, and Haburus Va'al. Now, says the Gemara, V'iboris kavrisa. Now, if boris is like you said, that it's sulfur, miyisle shvias, how could this be one of the items that were added on to the laws of Shemitah? Does the law of Shemitah apply to sulfur? But v'tnan, which actually a braisa says, zakal, this is the rule. Kol sheyeshli ikur, whatever has roots that from that it's living, so yeshli shvias. So then it has laws of Shemitah, which are things that are agricultural, that grow from the ground. But v'chol she'ein lo ikur, whatever does not have a root, and therefore that's what's maintaining it. Ein lo shvias does not have the laws of Shemitah. And sulfur is just earth, it doesn't have roots in the ground. So how could you say that this Boiris is Kavrisa, if the Boiris is one of the things that we say that has the laws of Shemitah? Says Gemara, you're right, Elamai Boiris, it's Ahala, like we said before, it's Aloh. But says the Gemara, but Tanul and the Braisa, Boiris Va'al, that they're two different things. Says the Gemara, Trigab Nahala, there are two types of Aloh. There's the one that we call Ahala, and then the one that's Boiris, but you're right, it is a type of Aloh, and that's one of the seven ingredients of detergents used for this thing. So to the Mishnah said, Kamunya, what's that? And Rabbi Yehuda says, Shloif Deitz, also a type of a detergent. Then the Mishnah said, and there's Va'ashlag, what's that? So Amar Shmuley says, Shaltinu l'nechusiyam, he says, I asked the seafarers, those who aren't, go overseas, Va'amru, and they said to me, Ashlagashmei, its name is Ashlaga. And the reason why he asked those sailors is because of Mishtakeh Beini Nikve Marganisa, it's found in the sea, which is, it's found in the crevices and the holes of pearls, which are and oysters on the seabed. Umafkila baramtza de parzla, and they remove it with a needle that's a long needle made out of iron. They get it out from the crevices of the pearl. That's the last ingredient of the seven detergents used to test and to nullify the blood of the bloodstain. Now, the Mishnah said, Hitfilu ba'asu, but if let's say they first immersed without putting the seven detergents, and they did taharis, so then subsequently they do the test. So then the Mishnah said that if you do the test and you put on all the seven ingredients and you do everything that's necessary and it does not remove the stain, obviously it's not blood and it's a dye. And if it's a dye, so the garment is going to be tar because that's not metam, it's only if it's blood. Now similarly, Tanbar Linda Braisa, similar to this case of the Mishnah, the Braisa says, Hever lov shiva saman amali aver. If let's say someone puts on all the seven ingredients and does not remove the stain, but safin, which is a certain type of very strong detergent, and v'aver, and that removes the stain, so taharis of Timaeus, so then we're going to say, oh, we removed the stain, so then it could be blood. We're going to say the taharis that were touched before the test was done are going to be tummy. Says the Gemara, tzafin, the sabon, tzavanami ma'av. What do you mean? It removes even dye. So why should we suspect that it's blood? It most definitely could be dye too. And we should say, like just like the case of when it doesn't remove anything, which we suspect that it's dye, here also we should think that it's dye. Elarev says the Gemara, you're right. Hever love shisha saman amaleyav. The case of the Braisa is Tumat. No, if a person put on only six ingredients and it didn't remove it, didn't put on all seven, he put on six. And then hever love tzabon va'aver, and then he put on this very strong detergent and removed it. That's what we're saying, taharis of Timaeus, that's going to be tame. Why? The taharis that we used with it. Shem hever shvi mitchila, because it could be, had we done initially all the seven ingredients, shem aver, it might have removed it, and then there would have been blood. Now that you didn't do the seventh one, you did this tzafon instead, oh, that doesn't prove to us that it's dye, it could still be blood, and therefore it's going to be tame. But you're right. Had you done all seven and didn't remove it, and then you did the tzafon, that wouldn't prove anything, and then we would suspect that it's dye and not blood. Tanya Dekulut in another brace, it says, Hever lov shivet saman v'loy aver. So you did the test, all seven detergents, it did not remove the stain, but then shanan v'aver, but then you did the test again, and now it did come off, then tahiris of tahiris. The taharis that you had done are going to remain tar because if the stain really was blood, then the first time you did the test, it would have removed it. And the fact that the first time didn't, only the second time, so even if it's a dye, okay, the second time around is getting it off, but had it been blood, it would have been on the first time, and therefore, even though the second time removes it, we're going to say that the taharis that you did with it are going to be tar. No. But I remember Zeri, he qualifies Allah this price. He says, Leishana, we didn't learn this, that the taharis that were done before the test, they're going to remain tar, because we verified that it's not dam. Is Elaha taharis and nasu bein tachvais is only told by regarding the taharis that were done between the placement of the detergents of the laundering between Rishon Lishnia, between the first test and the second test. That those taharis that were done are going to remain tar. But regarding the taharis that were utilized with this garment after the second test, which at that test that actually removed the stain, taharis of Timaeus, those taharis are going to be tame. Why? Sharei hikbara lav, because this person, he did the test. It didn't remove it. So that itself already verified that it's not dam, because the dam would have came off. But even he did the test again. So he revealed, obviously, that he is bothered by the stain, and he does suspect it to be blood. And v'avar, and through the second test, it actually removed the stain. So he actually created it, essentially, like the status of blood, because blood is something that normally does come off with the seven detergents, and the second time around, which he was suspecting it, and it removed it, so he treated it essentially like blood, and therefore it's going to have the halacha like blood, and therefore it's going to have the laws of tumah and the taharis that are on it afterwards, before that test. So then, after the first one didn't come off, so we obviously see that it's dye. But by the second one, he essentially treated it like blood, and it actually had the same status as blood, and the same things like what happens to blood, therefore it's going to have the laws of like blood. That the Gemara contains on the bay is an Amalei Rababel Ravashi says, "Midi b'kpeid Talia Milsa." Does this law depend on the person's particularity? In other words, you're telling me that the taharis between these two tests are going to be tar, because obviously it's not blood, because the fact that it didn't come off by the first test, obviously it's not blood. So then, the second time you do the test, well, because he's concerned and he's very scrupulous, so therefore they become tame. How does that make it tame? It's not blood. Who cares that he's suspecting it, and therefore, and it actually happened like what happens in blood? That's going to have the status as blood. Amalei in. So Rav Ashi said to him, yes, it does depend on that person's hakpada. The Tanna, learn the Braisa. Priyam, he says the following halacha. He says, dam hanida vade. When we know it's a definitive menstrual blood. For example, Anida, a menstruating woman, went, wiped herself by the genital area with a cloth, and out comes blood. So we know that it's definitive blood. And even so, so you have this cloth, which is now tummy, has damnid on it. So, mavro lav zayin samanim, mavatli. What the woman could do is, she puts the seven detergents on that stained garment, that stained cloth, and that nullifies the tumma of the dam in that garment. Even if it doesn't totally remove the blood, it's nullified, and it's going to be tar. Why? Because since a person's not makbid, they're not particular after they put on the seven detergents, from the fact that, okay, some of the coloring has been removed even though the blood is still there. Now the question, but vamai, why does that nullify the blood? Hadam nidu, but there's still menstrual blood over here. Says Rav Ashi, Alma b'kpeida talim yisus. Obviously we see it's dependent on a person's particularity. If it bothers a person, once you laundered it, you put a detergent, even though there's some stain over here, people don't care anymore. We already laundered it, so it's going to make it not anymore as the dam needed to be metame. So chanami b'kpeid the talim yisus. It also works the other way too. If a person is particular and is treating it like it is blood, it's going to have the status as blood, and therefore it's going to be metame by the second test when it gets removed, and therefore it's going to be metame at the house. Relating back to this halacha, the Gemara brings Tnan Hastam. We learned over there in the Mishnah Masechet Iskelin that says, Charasin, earthenware shards, Shenishtamish ben Zav, that a Zav, who was an avatam who had a discharge out of his male member, which is a tummy, for 7 days, Shebolu Mashkin, that these earthenware shards, for example, let's say it was a urinal that the Zav or the Zava uses, a lavatory, so that earthenware vessel, which it absorbed the liquids from the Zav and the Zava, v'naftu l'avar atana. And then, this earthenware shard fell into the airspace of an oven. V'husik atana, and the oven was heated up, says the Mishnah, hatana tame. So the oven becomes tame. Why? Shasayif mashkalatsis, because ultimately liquids are going to come out. In other words, it's normative for liquids to come out when you heat up earthenware. And since the earthenware pieces were heated up in the oven, so the liquids that are absorbed inside of them come out, and therefore the oven, which is also an earthenware vessel, becomes tummy from its ear space, and now you have these tummy liquids coming out into them, so therefore the oven's going to become tummy when it gets heated up. Now, on that Mishnah, Amr Reish Lakish, he says, Loishan, we didn't learn in this Mishnah that only says if the oven got heated up, then the oven's going to become Tameh. But if it doesn't get heated up, then it's not going to become Tameh. Meaning, because as long as the liquids are absorbed in the earthenware shards, then we're saying it's not going to contaminate the airspace of the oven. Says Reish Lakish, that was Ela Mashkin Kalim. That was only learned regarding low-grade tumas of beverages, which are not Avha tumas. For example, the tears of his eye of a tummy person, of a zava or a zava, or the blood of his wound, or let's say a tummy mace, a person who is not a zava zava, he became tummy because he touched a dead person, and regarding his urine, or let's say the tumma of his sheretz, where by those tummas, even when they get heated up and the liquids come out of them, even if the actual substance would be in the ear space of the oven, that tumma is only rabbinic, because no beverages contaminate a kli, which is what a tana or an oven is, except for a liquid that's an ava tumma. So therefore, these liquids are talking about that it's only going to be metame when it's in actual ear space, but not when it's absorbed, only by lower level types of liquids, which are not avatumas. Av mashkin chamurin, but regarding severe types of liquids, for example, the urine of the zav and the zava, which there the Torah included them as one of the springs of his body, which are fountains that produce inside his body, which contaminate people and vessels like an avatuma. Then says Reish Lakish that actually tameh, the oven's going to be tameh afa pi shaloi ho seketan, or even if the oven was not heated up, since technically the liquids could come out when it would be heated up. So he says it's not considered anymore what's called tuma balua, which is the concept that this Gemara is talking about, what's called absorbed tuma. Absorbed tuma is not considered like it's here, it's considered absorbed in what the element that it's in. That doesn't contaminate. Says Reish Lakish, this is not considered absorbed tuma because it's not totally absorbed. If you would heat up the oven, it would come out. So therefore, by an ava tuma, by a severe level liquid like the urine of a zavan or zava, unlike the urine of a tamei mace, is considered an ava tuma. That would be metame even if the oven would not be eaten up, because since it could come out, it's not considered absorbed. When did we say that halacha, the Mishnah, told me to get heated up when it's not, it's considered absorbed? Is regarding a lower level type of a liquid, which is not an avatoma. Regarding those things, we say tuma balua, but regarding the avatoma, even if it wasn't heated up, it would be metame the oven. But Rabbi Yechonam, he disagrees. He says, no, echad mashkin kalin, vechad mashkin chamur, doesn't make a difference if the lower level types of liquids or more severe tuma types of liquids. Im hosagatan are in. Like the Mishnah says, if the oven gets heated up, then yes, it's going to be tuma. Eloi, eloi. But if not, no. Because he considers that the tuma that's absorbed into the earthenware shards to be considered tuma blua. And tuma blua does not contaminate, as the Gemara says in Chul, daf ein alef min alef. Now, Eitz Rabbi Yechon and Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yechon asked a few questions in Reish Lakish. The first one being the halacha of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, if hitfiloi, if they immersed the garment that had the blood stain on it before they put on the seven detergents, and va'as agabav taharas, so they thought, okay, that's okay, they immersed it in the mikvah, star, they used it for taharas, and then they realized, uh-oh, you have to first nullify the blood. So what they did is maybe it's not even blood. The heviru lav zayin saman, they put on the seven detergents afterwards, but layover and didn't remove the stain. Oh, says the Mishnah raised it tzeva, so obviously this is dye, it's not blood. V'taharos of tarus, and therefore the tarus remain tar. V'ein tzarach lahatpul, and you don't have to go out and immerse in the mikvah because it wasn't tummy in the first place. So on that, Rabbi Yechon's question is as follows. He says, look, if you say like me, regarding something that's absorbed that can't come out, like we see here, you use the seven detergents, it doesn't come out. It could only come out in extreme types of ways. So that's considered balua. And therefore, it's going to be tar. So that's why, so Rabbi Yechonin, we could understand the halacha of our Mishnah, why we suspend this and we say leniently and we say, okay, it's dye, and we're going to say that it's tar. Because even though technically maybe it is blood, but even if it would be blood, which you have to be concerned for, but since it's so absorbed that the seven detergents, which are obviously the unique type of detergents that get off blood, they're not getting it off, even though technically, and this is the important word, it could come out in extreme situation by using this tzafon, like we mentioned before, okay, we're going to say that's tar, because even if it could come out, that's considered tuma balua, because it's not coming out, even though you could. But says Rabbi Yechon to Reish Lakish, according to you, that you said, as long as something could come out, like in the case that we're disagreeing about, by heating it up in the oven, so even when it doesn't come out, you say it's going to be tameh. So then the halacha of a Mishnah, how can we suspend leniently to say that, oh, the trumas that we used on this will say that it's okay, but maybe it's blood. And if it's blood, you hold it not considered tuma blue because it could come out, albeit through using this safon. So why are we saying that it's going to be tailaba, that we're going to consider the tairas as tar? So Malay, so Reish Lakish answered to him, he says, no, you're right, that's regarding biblical. But I said rabbinic is different. Hanach leksamim, leave alone the laws of stains, where the initial decree of forbidding this was only the Rabbanan, it's rabbinic. So therefore we could be lenient, like I said regarding rabbinic law, that it's not going to become tummy until you heat up the oven. So since biblically the laws of need is only when she actually has a discharge that she feels in her flesh, and here it wasn't like that, you just find the stain, so therefore we're going to be lenient, even if you technically could, but that's not going to be enough. There I agree that we're going to say tuma blua, and it's not going to be metame. But the Gemara asks, Rechna continues asking, he says, V'tani Reb Chiya, but we have the brayso we taught before from Reb Chiya that said, Damani Davad, if you have definitive blood of menstrual blood. So he said, but still, Mavar Lav Zayin Saman, what you could do is you could put on the seven detergents, Umavatli, and you could nullify it. Says Reb Yechanan, and over here in this case, where it's definitely blood, you see that you could purify it, because what happens is since it's so absorbed, even though it's still there. So Reb Chiya, okay, but you already did all the washings, all the seven detergents. That's enough. Even though Reb Yechon and Reish Lakish, you could get it all out by using tzafon, and you still see that it's not going to be metame. You see, obviously, we consider that as tuma blua, even though technically it could come out. So on that, Amalei, Reish Lakish said to him, you're right, this halacha would contradict me, but this is what's called Eina Mishnah. This is not a Tanoic text. This is a mistaken halacha. Because since Rebbe Leishana, Rebbe didn't teach this halacha in our Mishnais, who he organized all the Mishnah, so Reb Chiya, who is his student, who is the author of this Braisa, Menali, where does he get this from? You're right, it's an erroneous halacha, because we don't find this in the Mishnah, and therefore it's incorrect, because to the contrary, the halacha would be that it would not be mevatlet, because yes, since you technically could get it out, it actually would not be considered tuma blua, and it would be metame. But Eisvei Reb Yechon Reish Lakish, it continues asking now from Mishnah Masechtas Alos. Mishnah says, Revi is dam, a quarter leg of blood of a dead person, which generally contaminates, it transmits tuma in oil if it's in the same overhang as anything else. Shenivul b'bayis, if it gets absorbed into the house. So says the Mishnah, b'bayis tummy. The house is going to be tummy. What that means to say is the vessels in the house are going to be tummy by being in the same oil as that revi'is dam of a dead person. Now, v'amila, some actually have the text as habayis tar, that the house is going to be tar. The kalim do not become tummy. Says the Gemara, and v'lay pliga, they actually don't disagree. Ha, b'kalim did mikara. One version is regarding vessels that were there before the blood got absorbed into the house. Oh, so those vessels are going to be tummy because they were in the same oil before it got absorbed. Habakim the Saif. The other version was talking about where those vessels came into the house after the blood was already absorbed into the ground in the house. So they're going to be tar because it's not going to contaminate anymore because it's not here in the airspace anymore. Already got absorbed into the ground. But continues the Mishnah. Nivla b'ksus. Let's say the revi'is of dam got absorbed into a garment. So the Mishnah says as follows. If you would launder the garment, a revi'is of dam would come out. So then Temeya, then it's going to contaminate. Vimlav, but if not, Tyra, then the garment's going to be tar. Now, that's in spite of the fact that a full revi'is of dam is absorbed into that garment. So says Reb Yechon, obviously you see that when you have something that's absorbed, if it can't come out directly, only under extreme circumstances, like in this case where, even though we're saying when you launder it, a revi'is dam wouldn't come out, but if you use tzafon, which we said is this very strong detergent, it would all come out, and still you see it's going to be tar, not like Reish Lakish. So Rav Kahana, he says, not difficult, because Mekuli Revi'i Shanu Kan. This is from the leniencies of a revi'is of dam that we're learning here in this Mishnah, because Shani Dam Tavusa Drabanan. Here, the revi'is that we're lenient by is not talking about a full-fledged, bona fide revi'is of dam that came from a dead person. Because you're right, over there, you're right, as Reish Lakish holds, the halacha would be that it would be metame. Here we're talking about a revi'is of what's called Dam Tavusa. What's Dam Tavusa? Dam Tavusa is doubtful if it's metame, because in such a type of a dam of tvusa, even if it's not absorbed in the garment, it does not have a definitive tumah. As the Bryce teaches later on, in the last parak, the final alf and alf, what's considered dam tvusa is regarding someone that was murdered. And a revius of dam came out of this person, some blood when he was alive, some blood when he was dead. Now, there's a doubt, did most of it come out when he was alive, or did most of it come out when he was dead, and then it's tummy? So as itself, it's only a suffix, and it's a rabbinic law that it's going to be metame. So therefore, regarding that is where we say, which Reish Lakish agrees to, when there's rabbinic law, then we're not going to say that it's going to be considered non-tuma blua. He's going to agree over there it's going to be tuma blua, and there it's going to be tar. But if it's, you're right, if it's a regular revi'is dam of a mess, then of course the halacha would be, according to Reish Lakish, that it would be metame. Now, Eisvei Reish Lakish Rabbi Yechanan. Now Reish Lakish has Rabbi Yechanan from that same Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Kala b'lua she'enu yachalatzis, anything that's absorbed that cannot come out, so that's tar, so that's not considered like it's still here, it's already absorbed in the thing, and therefore it's not going to be metame. Now, says Reish Lakish, the inference is, ha'yachalatzis, but if it could come out, then tame would be tame. V'avagav d'lo nafek, even though it's not coming out, but if it could come out, so that's exactly Reish Lakish's principle, that we don't consider that as tuma blua. And that our papa, he qualifies the machlokes as follows, which will answer the question on Rabbi Yechonon. It says, Kol eicha de'en yochalatzis, anywhere the thing that's absorbed cannot come out, which therefore some commentaries remove the next three words of v'lo hikbar alav, and it doesn't bother him, because the primary element is if it can't come out, then divya kol tar. Everyone agrees it's going to be tar, because that's considered tuma blu, it's absorbed tuma, it can't even come out, so then it's not going to be matam anymore. Now, let's say yochalatzis, let's say it could come out, and v'hikbar alav, and the person that actually bothers the person wants it out, so then divya kol tuma, everyone's agreed that it's going to be tuma, it's not tuma blu, and the person bothers it, so therefore it's going to be considered as this tuma element, like the reviz adam, is going to be tuma. Key pligi, what's the machlekes between them of Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish? Is the yachalot says it could come out, but v'lehik b'relav, but the person doesn't bother the person anymore. He's not particular about it. Maris of Rish Lakish held kiven the yachalot says since it could come out, so avagav v'lehik b'relav, even though the person not bothered by it, but ultimately it could come out. Therefore, it's going to be tummy. So therefore, regarding the case of the charasn of the earthenware shards, even though the person's not particular to remove everything that's inside of it, to get out all the liquids that are inside, it's a clean thing, even though some liquids could come out, but they're going to be tummy crunch Rish Lakish as long as they don't come out, because since technically they could come out by being heated up, says Rish Lakish, then yeah, regarding severe types of tumas like liquids, like a urine from a zava or zava, he holds that, yeah, therefore it's going to be mitami. It's not going to be considered as tuma blua. Now, but because it could come out. But Amar Sav Rabbi Yechon held that no, avagav the yachalotz, even though it technically could come out, but as a ketin type of samach gilma b'nalv, im hikbar alav in, only if, and this is the part that's answering the question, if it bothers the person, then yes, then we're going to say that it's problematic. In other words, so therefore, this that we learned that says that, oh, if it could come out, that's going to be tummy, is because, yes, not only that it could come out, but the person, it bothers the person, the person wants it out. Oh, if the person wants it out, that's where the Mishnah is inferring, oh, ha-yachalotz is tummy, even though it didn't come out. Rabbi Yechon would agree over there. But the part that he disputes with Rish Lakish, but Eloi, but even though it could come out, but it doesn't bother the person, okay, so then Lai, then it doesn't bother him and it's not considered significant, and then we're going to be considering that as Tuma Blua and it's not going to be Metame. And therefore, that also explains regarding their Machlaikis, that if a person launders something, a regular type of laundering, and it would come out, so then it's going to become Tame, because that's a type of thing that a person, it would usually bother a person since it could come out easy. But if not, it's going to be tar, because even though, and this is what Rabbi Yechon was saying, that it could come out through tzafon, but something that it requires extreme laundering doesn't usually bother a person since it doesn't come out with the regular type of laundering, and therefore that's what he said, that that's going to be tar. And therefore, again, this is not difficult from him, from the question of the inference of that, oh, as long as it could come out, again, that depends on Rabbi Yechon if the person is makbid or not. The person is makbid, which is generally, again, the same idea as if it could come out through regular laundering, then that would be something that would be considered tame and not tame blue. But if it's something that can only come out through extreme circumstances like the savon, or something that doesn't bother a person, which is the equivalent of that, then that's where Rabbi Yechon disagrees with the Shlakish, and he would say that that would be considered tuma blua, and that would remain tar.